start with a few things, a typology in the book of Exodus. Number one, Egypt is a type of the world that we people living in, opposing God's people and trying to keep them in bondage. That's the world we are living in. I read an article that one school tried to ban In God We Trust. They had to blow up these coins, and one of the things they had to do is the drawing the coin, different coins. The student drew the coins, and the portion that were in God's trust, they had to put the cover on top of it. Because we don't want the ideas, we don't want to offend those who don't believe in God. I thought, how far this world going to last, especially in America? When we try to kick the God out of our heart, our school, this world will not last long. Second type would be Pharaoh. He's a type of Satan and God of this world that demands worship and defies God and think that to enslave God's people. This world belongs to Satan, and Satan controls everyone in this world. We were one of them until Jesus set us free. Third point, Israel would be type of church delivery, delivered from the bondage of the world and led on the pilgrim journey and protected by God. However, the church often forget God. Isn't it true that even the born-again Christian forget that we're supposed to follow God's way? How do I say that? Because average divorce rate of a born-again Christian is no different than non-Christians, over 55%. If they follow God's way, there wouldn't be a divorce unless there's a marital infidelity. Even the marital infidelity, divorce is an option, not mandated. Fourth point would be Moses was a type of Jesus Christ and God's prophet. Fifth point, the key type of Exodus is Passover, picturing the salvation, the death of Jesus Christ, application of his blood for our safety, appropriation of his life for our daily strength. Next point would be the crossing the Red Sea is a picture of resurrection and deliver the believer from the present evil world. Seventh point, the manna pictures the Christ, bread of life. Eighth point is smitten rock. That would be smitten Christ, and through whose death the Holy Spirit is given. And you may say, I cannot write this down fast enough. Well, don't worry, we will go over this many times, so relax. Amalek is a picture of the flesh opposing the believers in pilgrim journey. And in the back of your mind, you're thinking, you said Moses is a type of Jesus Christ. How did you come up with that conclusion? Well, I'm glad you thought about that. So let's compare side by side. Moses, he was a Jewish son in Egypt, right? You with me? Jesus was a Jewish son. He was born as a Jewish son of a carpenter. Moses, when he was a baby, he was in danger of being killed by the Pharaoh, but providentially, God cared for him. Jesus' case, Herod the Great tried to kill him, but he escaped. His family was escaped to Egypt when he was a baby. Moses was chosen to suffer with the Jews rather than reign in Egypt. Again, this concept of that Egypt is the world. He, instead of reigning in the world, he rather suffer with his people. Jesus' case, when he was tempted, when he in the wilderness, Satan offered him what? The power of the entire world. You can reign this world if you just bow down to me. And what did Jesus say? It is written that you shall not serve any other God other than God alone. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 7. Philippians chapter 5. Philippians is located right after Ephesians, right before Colossians. Chapter 2, verse 5. Are you there yet? I'm in Ephesians. No wonder I couldn't find it. Duh. What? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. He laid aside his glory and took the form of human, low himself. Let's go back to the comparison chart. Moses was rejected by his own people at the first time. Second time, when he came back as the leader, they accepted him. When the Jesus came, he was rejected by his own people, his brethren. And they even crucified him. Moses was rejected. Well, when he was rejected, he spent 40 years in Midian desert and had a wife, Gentile wife, known as Zipporah. Jesus, when he was after he was rejected, he started a church, mainly composed by the Gentile people, that is us. Church is a bride of Jesus Christ. Are you with me so far? Are you in La La Land? Okay, good. Moses delivered God's people through the blood of the Lamb during the first Passover. For Jesus, he is the Lamb of God, perfect Lamb of God, perfect sacrifice, who died during the Passover time. So with that in mind, however, there's one contrast, one major contrast between Moses and Jesus. Moses, even though he was a godly man, law was given to him so that he may pass to his people, to us. For Jesus Christ, he brought the grace and truth because he is the Son of living God. The structure of this book is mostly talking about Moses. First 40 years is the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was living in the court of the Pharaoh's. That was the first 40 years. Next 40 years, he ran away from Egypt and he resided in the Midian desert and married and have a family there. And he was just a shepherd. God was using that time out for 40 years to make him to be the leader of the Israeli people. Next 40 years, he took these Israeli people out toward the promised land because their disobedience, they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. So 40 years for three times, 120 years. First 18 chapters is about the deliverance with God's supernatural power, God's supernatural provision for the Israeli people. It set the idea of a Passover. And once they start to move into the territory of the wilderness, they find themselves, God is giving them instruction about the setting up the tabernacle and how to sacrifice the animals and so on. And each one of them pointing to the one direction about Jesus Christ. And also it shows them one more thing, one very important thing. All the sacrifice remind these people this holy God cannot be approached. And with our goodness. Some people say, well, good people will not go to hell. Hogwash. According to my Bible and the book of Romans, we all fall short of the glory of God. No one is good, no, not one. Our goodness is like a rag, filthy rag. So we cannot come to him unless we come to him through Jesus Christ. We will start at the verse 1, chapter 1. Now these are the names of the children of Israel who came to Egypt. Each man and his household came with Jacob, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin. Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. All those who were descendants of Jacob were 70 persons, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, all his brothers, and all that generation. But the children of Israel were fruitful, increased abundantly, multiplied, and grew exceedingly mighty. And the land was filled with them. Joseph came to Egypt as a slave of Midianite, and he was sold to Potiphar's home. And there's a series of the incident happened, and he became a second in command because of God used him mightily. And he became a man of high honor. And Israeli people, his family and relatives enjoyed a time of privilege and prestige. When Joseph died, all the prestige and privilege went with him. We'll continue in verse 8. Now we find a new king. Now there arose a new king of Egypt, underline, who did not know Joseph. Would you please? Who did not know. And he said to his people, look, the people of Israel, children of Israel, are more mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and it happens in the events of war, that they also join our enemies and fight against us. So go up out of the land. Therefore they set the taskmaster over them to afflict them with their burdens. They built for the Pharaoh's supply city Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflict them, the more they multiply and grew. They were in dread in the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, and in mortar, in bricks, and in all manners of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve with rigor. I find a tremendous lesson in verse 8 that I asked you on the line. I often wonder what kind of thing we teach to our children. Do we teach our children about Jesus? Do we teach them about God? Or do we just leave education of our children in the hands of teachers in the school, or DVD, or VCR? I remember I was busy. I was working many hours, and my wife was working too. And some of you guys have the same shoes. So we have to leave our children in front of a TV with a bunch of cartoons. Only problem is now, looking back, we made a mistake. Some of the cartoons was not fitting for the child of God to watch. A lot of them is black magic. A lot of them has, you know, rainbow pony. Remember that? Some of you guys remember that. Rainbow pony or the strawberry shortcake. All of those has something to do with some magical thing. That's why I'm having a hard time accepting the Walt Disney movies, because a lot of them contain the black magic. So how do we educate our children? Do we just let somebody else educate their value to our children, or do we teach them according to Bible? If they were not taught by us about the Jesus Christ, about God, from the Bible, soon they will forget. Nowadays, if you walk into the school area, high school area, the word Jesus is not an adoration. Jesus is not for love. It's a cuss word. And they don't know any other way other than using his name as a cuss word. It's happening. It will be like that all the time if we don't do something about it. Parents, I'm going to switch the gear. Parents, listen carefully, please. If your children do something wrong, don't punish them by stopping them coming to church services, like a youth group. Don't make it as a punishment. Use something else as a punishment. Like a no phone, no friend, no internet, no video game, no food for 2 months, and hard labor for the next 10 years. Do something else. Because if you take the church service away from them, you're robbing the opportunity for them to meet God in their turn. You may say, well, when they go to youth group, they just have fun. Well, they come sit between your kid and your friend's, your kid's friend. They won't play around in front of you. Let them learn. Let them learn about God. So we can bring up the generation who is sold out for God, not just video game generation, known as X generation. What is X? Other than duh. Let's bring them up in His way so that they may not depart from Him. When the Israeli people stay in Egypt, in a way, it was the way He set it up. It was just like a mother's womb. What am I talking about? If God left them in the land of Canaan, there are so many hidden countries, hidden nations around. It's easy for them to intermarry with the hidden nation people. Ancient Egyptians were such a racist, without apology, ancient Egyptians are such a racist that they would not intermarry with the Jewish people. These Jewish people, Hebrew people, were living in the land of Goshen, isolated, living all by themselves, grew up from the 70 people only to the 2 million people. Do you mean to answer that form for you? Just kidding. So in a way, it was God's plan for them to be isolated. Let's continue in before we go to verse 15. I find another principle in verse 12. The more adversity they receive from the Egyptians, and they will grow mightily, multiply. What kinds of principle do I get? Folks, listen up. The affliction you go through, the trials you go through, it can hurt you or it can strengthen you. It can deepen your walk with Christ stronger than ever before. Whose choice? Your choice, my choice. It can be wedged to separate us from the God, or it can be glued between God and us to draw near to Him. Who make a decision? We do. God doesn't. God gives us opportunity to learn from Him through trials and tests and affliction. But we are the one who make a choice. Verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of the one is Shiprah, and the name of the other, Puah. Try to name your kids with these names. Puah. Sounds like a Chinese name. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew woman and see them in the birthstool, for if it is son, then you shall kill him, and if it's a daughter, then she shall live. But midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwife said to Pharaoh, because Hebrew women are not like an Egyptian woman, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore the God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew mightily, very mightily. Mighty. And so it was, because midwives fear God, and He provided household for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. You cannot possibly imagine that only two midwives available for the entire 2 million people nation. I'm guessing that maybe they are the CEO or the president of the pregnancy us or the Federation of Israeli Midwives. Maybe they are the head hunters. God used these midwives to confound the king of Egypt. God used the foolish things and small things of the world to confound the mighty things of the world. Don't ever think that you cannot be used by God because you don't have a whole lot to give it to God. As long as you know that you have nothing to give to God, that's what God needs. God is not looking for somebody who is capable. But God is looking for somebody who is available. He is looking for the availability, not ability. Because He will provide ability. Was it right for this woman to defy the order of king? Yes, it is right, because his command was wrong thing. It's better for that person, the midwives, pleased God than rather than obeying the king who is wrong. According to the book of Acts 5:29, it's better for us to obey God rather than man. Keep in mind, please, Egyptian king tried to drown the Israeli babies. But it is God who drowned the entire army of Egyptians. While we're talking about killing babies, I have to talk about the subject of abortion. I'm going to talk about this very carefully, tenderly. Not because I'm afraid to talk about abortion, but because for those who done this in the past and living with the guilt. Foremostly, abortion is wrong. It's sin against God. Because abortion kills a child. There's no buts about it. It ends a person's life. And some of you ladies say, well, it's my body, it's my right. Yes, it's your body, but it's not your life. It's somebody else's life. It's child's life. Let that child make his or her own decision to live. If you are pregnant, I don't know if you're pregnant or not. Certainly, I'm not going to ask you're pregnant? There was one guy said, you're pregnant. She said, no, I'm not pregnant. Where would you go with that conversation? So I learned not to ask that kind of thing to the ladies. If you're pregnant and this is the child you don't want, think carefully, please. If you don't want this child, have somebody to adopt that child and give a love and life to that child. Don't kill that child. Don't have abortion. Please listen to God's voice through this preacher. That life is precious as your life is precious. Aren't you glad your mama didn't have abortion when she conceived you? For those who had abortion before, you regret, you come to God, you ask forgiveness, guess what? It is done. God no longer remembers that sin you committed. To Him, that slate is wiped clean. It's not existing. Don't remind Him, because He will say, what sin? He will separate your sin from the east to the west. And He will put the sin in the sea of forgetfulness He no longer remembers. So move on. Don't dwell on the past. You don't need to live in the guilt anymore. Let's make an application. Number one, give the best legacy to our next generations, Jesus Christ, by living for Him, being in love with Him, and obey Him. Second application, God uses the affliction of our lives to shape us and mold us. As I said before, it can be wedgie or it can be glue. We make a choice. If you are going through affliction, If you're going through difficulty, you need prayer, we'll be more than happy to pray for you. We'll come alongside to stand with you. But it is your choice to stay close to Jesus. This affliction will grow you deeper than ever before. We receive the freedom because of Jesus Christ. Some of you may not have that freedom. Some of you are still living in the bondage because you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If that's the case, I'm going to give you opportunity. Let's stand up and pray. Men of the communion board, come on down, please. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your head. Do not move around. This is a very important time. Seems like you going round and round because you don't have hope. You don't have that peace in your heart. The reason is because you don't have Jesus Christ. If that's the case, today is the day, now is the time to come to know Him. Don't let pride of yours or somebody next to you might make fun of you or stop you. Don't let anything stop you from coming to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'd like to introduce Him to you, who will give you love that beyond what you can possibly imagine. He will love you forever. And He will give you the hope that promises eternal life in heaven. What do you have on this earth that will last forever? Nothing. So if you don't know Him as your Savior and Lord, just simply raise your hand and commit your life to Him. You will never regret it, I guarantee you. Anyone would like to receive Jesus Christ into your heart, raise your hand, please. Anyone? Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We receive it in our heart. Let Your word come alive, not just Sunday, not just Sunday afternoon, throughout the day, every week. Every day in the week, every day in a month, every day in a year. Let us live for You, for Your glory alone. Pray this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, please. If you need a prayer, come see me or Pastor Jack here or any of these gentlemen up here. And if you need healing, we'll pray for you and it will be our privilege. Remember, Jesus is coming back soon, so keep your knees down, heads up. God bless you.